Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started. Hey, hey, friends. Welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here, back with another awesome episode of Side Hustle Pro. And today in the guest chair, I have Ehime Egbe, the founder of Sweet Kiwi, an award-winning woman and minority-owned Better For You CPG food brand, which is whipping up the frozen dessert category and reinvigorating the space through uniqueness, nutrition, functionality, and taste. So a uterine fibroid diagnosis led her to a greater understanding of the power of food. She then started to change her eating habits and delved into learning more about different ingredients that support our body's development. Sweet Kiwi was born from this labor of love. She has led the Sweet Kiwi brand as it launched the whipped Greek yogurt she formulated in her kitchen onto the shelves at grocery stores. It can be found in the Whole Foods Market, Walmart, Kroger, with products in just under 2,000 stores. And in today's episode, she shares how she started this brand while working full-time, how she delved into the restaurant industry for a bit to really get a sense of the food space, the pitfalls she's made along the way, and how she is raising money for her business and continuing to grow. I love this episode. I consider this a masterclass episode. So let's get right into it. All right. Welcome to the guest chair. Can you quickly just introduce yourself, who you are, and what you do?
Hi, my name is Ehime Egbe. I'm the founder of Sweet Kiwi. Sweet Kiwi is a frozen dessert company. We make a delicious whipped frozen Greek yogurt that bridges the gap between good for you functional nutrition and great taste. You can find our products in grocery stores across the country.
Awesome. You know, as I was getting ready for this interview, I realized I have tasted your yogurt. You sponsored there. I went to like this food festival type of thing back in like 2018.
Yes,
I forget the venue, but I remember.
I think it was like Jollof Gist.
Was yummy. Very cool. So tell me, why frozen yogurt? Like, what attracted you to this particular product?
So at the time I got started, I was diagnosed with a uterine fibroid, and I was looking for ways to eat better. And I did like a complete like meal haul. I just felt like I could beat this by just eating better, getting more nutrition. Mm-hmm. I really struggled with the dessert part of things just because I'm a big sweet tooth. It was hard to get through my days without some, you know, something sweet. Like I'm a big chocolate eater. Mm-hmm. I love my ice cream. And I would always like say, oh, it's Sunday. I can just have like one little pint of something, you know, and, you know, but I had to start holding myself accountable. Mm-hmm. I'd go to the grocery stores, try all the ice creams, you know, the light ones, the healthy ones. I would take one spoon and then it'll be in my freezer for the next 2 months. So it's cleaning day and then it'll end up in the trash. And I just thought that there could be a better way. Maybe I could do, I liked Greek yogurts and I thought, okay, maybe I could use Greek yogurt because it's high in proteins or something. Right. My focus was more around nutrition, just getting more nutrition. And if I could do something that had like a high protein content, less fat, and frozen yogurt was kind of blowing up at the time, but then I would go to the stores as well and it'll be low fat but like crazy sugar. Mm-hmm. You know, so I wanted to do something that was a great balance, really low sugar, great tasting still, but had like some really great nutrition. And I was making the stuff in my kitchen. I had like a mini like churning thing.
Wow.
And I started making it and I would take it to work and my friends really loved it. And that's basically how we got started.
Nice. Now, when you got started, you were primarily thinking of just creating something for you to eat. You weren't necessarily thinking of creating a business. When did that shift?
I think the shift happened, you know, one day my boss was like, you know, you could do this as a business. And I was like, that was kind of like a moment for me, like a spark where I was like, me, like, yeah. I never saw myself as a business owner, entrepreneur. I was like, I like getting like a paycheck every 2 weeks. I've never really thought beyond like what I was doing at that time. After he said it, like it kind of stayed with me. I kind of dismissed it when he said it, but it would come back to me. Like I'd be asleep and those words kept haunting me. And something just told me like, step out, try, you know? So I started, I got a job working in the evenings at a restaurant. You know, I would just trying to learn how to even like go about like running something, you know, being in the food industry. So I would get out of work. I used to work for Citigroup. I would get out of work. I would go work for a company in the evening, like a restaurant, just getting to know how like you operate. Because I was thinking of opening like a yoga shop.
Okay.
So I just wanted to understand, how do you even run like a food shop,
Wow.
And so it was crazy because I would be at work at 7 a.m, get off work at 5, be at the restaurant by 6 and work till midnight.
Whoa.
You know, and then be back home and have to be up again at like 4 or 5, you know. But then at some point I realized the best part of my day was that 6 hours in the evening at the restaurant, meeting new people, just, you know, making the food. Like that was the best part of my day. And wow. I had a great job.
Yeah.
And that was the point for me. The minute I identified and I realized that this was the most exciting part of my day, that was when the shift happened.
That is so crazy to me. Like, I've never heard that before. First of all, your boss telling you you should start a business. That is really supportive. How did that come to be? Were you actually brought it to work and said, hey, taste this, you know?
No, I would just generally bring my food to work. But because I started meal prepping before, we all used to eat out, and I had a really close team. Like even till today, like most of my teammates are like, we're really close.
Yeah.
And I would bring like my lunch to work. We used to have potluck days, you know, but I would also bring my dessert, and my friends are like, oh, what do you bring today? And you know, they're just kind of like, oh, can I taste that? I would make like some okra. I would make like okra soup. I'm sure, which, you know,
yeah.
Because you're married to a Nigerian. I make my little okra soup. I would make my little different things. And then it's dessert time and I'll bring out my little yogurt and they're like, what's that?
And so that's how it all started.
Yeah. And in my job also, we had like different people who would bring stuff to sell. Okay. Like I had a friend whose mom would make empanadas and she like, everyone's like, put me down for an empanada, you know, put me down for,
I remember,
for like a taco.
I've seen people do that too. Yeah. And then what was also something else I don't think I've heard on this show is you identifying like, hey, if I want to get into this world, I need some more exposure, and deciding to get another job. Most people are just trying to leave their one job. You get a whole other job, have even less time to do the side hustle. So how long did you do that? And at what point did you start tinkering even more in your kitchen to create what is now Sweet Kiwi?
I did that for about 6 months. It was the craziest time. I was always tired.
I can imagine.
But I was always so excited as well. And I think that was the realization for me. I'm tired. I'm supposed to be complaining. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to be trying to quit. But every day I was so excited because I was learning. And I was just getting more knowledge. And I was so always so excited to go to work. And one day I just told my friend, like, this is like the best part of my day, you know, and that's saying something. I would do the restaurant in the evening. I would do my job in the mornings. And at some point I realized I'm going to do this. I'm going to take it seriously. I went and registered the business and got my business registration. And I kept working. I kept trying to find out, how do I make this product better? Mm-hmm. So I found out about Penn State. I went to Penn State to do ice cream manufacturing. I did like a dairy processing course as well. Just trying to figure out how to make the best products. I started traveling across the country, going to meet ingredient suppliers, equipment suppliers, and just putting together a business plan.
That is so, like, this is so inspiring. I mean, you were identifying things you probably didn't even know exist, right? Like, oh, this dairy course, and just truly get into the core of what does it take to make this product. And because you were working full time, I'm sure it wasn't cheap, but you at least, you know, you could invest in yourself because you had your full time job.
And it's also from learning from other people, like podcasts like yours as well. Like, I used to listen to podcasts, and I remember listening to a podcast where the founders of Ben and Jerry's had said that they went to Penn State to learn how to make ice cream. And I was like, oh, Penn State. And I wrote that down. And and I reached out like, oh, let's see, what does Penn State have? And that's how you start to grow and you start to find information. So listening to podcasts, like just trying to find out what information is out there, finding people who've done it and figuring out, how did they do it? How can I do it? And it's not about copying them, but just understanding what the options are so you can find the best path for yourself.
So I understand that you opened physical locations in Nigeria. Why did you start there? And what was the first step there?
So I was about to open a physical location in Dallas. I literally worked with this machine company. I'd worked on the product. We were literally about to sign a lease and open up. And then my brother was getting married in Nigeria. And I had gone home for the wedding. I think it was my cousin, my brother, one of them. But they got married like very close to each other.
Okay.
I was in Nigeria at the time and just thinking, and if you've ever been to Nigeria, or you, I'm sure you kind of can relate to this as well. At that time, I was on such an intense diet. And it's not a diet, it was a lifestyle of just eating better, very low carbs. I'm in Nigeria, and every event we went to at the wedding was all rice. And I still remember my cousin bursting into tears at the party we were at because she saw like a tray of rice coming out. Because she was just like, and I was like, oh, what happened? Did someone hurt you? And she was just like, I can't do another plate of rice. You know, and it just clicked to me, like, this was a market that had no inkling about how to even eat well, you know, and I definitely saw an opportunity. There was only one ice cream store in the country, in Lagos in particular. We wanted to go get dessert as a family. That was the only place available. And I didn't eat that. So I was like, you know, I've not been home in a long time. I didn't know what it was going to be. I didn't have any friends in Nigeria. All my friends were either in London or in the US. It was such a disconnect for me. Like, I was supposed to just go for the wedding and go back home to my life. And I just found myself thinking about, what if I open here? And I've always loved to travel. And for me, it was like just to experience something else.
Was it daunting at all? Because you had been living in Dallas. So even though that crossed your mind, was it at all terrifying to think about just completely switching gears and deciding to open somewhere else?
It was, but the thing was, it did feel right. I felt like I'd not kind of lived in the same place as my parents in almost 20 years. I just not been around them. Like, I was there and things just started to feel right. And I kind of wanted to explore what this could be, you know, and I'm someone, I listen to my instincts. I listen to how I feel. I listen to my gut. If it's telling me something, I've always been a traveler. Like, I've always been the kind of person that could pack up and go live in another place. It was scary, packing up to live in another place is different from packing up and going to start a business in a place where you know no one, and especially when you've never run a business before. So Nigeria was, in fact, really scary. It was very daunting. And at that time, I was even a different person. I was not the kind of person who's going to be reaching out to you to say, hey, I have this business. I was in social. I was a very quiet person, very reserved. I didn't know what it was all going to be. I just had an instinct. It just felt right. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to go start this thing. And I went, and it just started working out.
Now, when you moved, how long did it take you to find a location and open up?
3 years.
Wow.
A long time.
So it didn't just all start falling into place.
No, it was the craziest thing. I got there. We were supposed to do a tasting event just for people to try the product. So we did a pop-up at this marketplace called Espace. They would have like a monthly marketplace. And we were giving out samples and people started fighting over the products. And people come to me, oh, I want you at my wedding. And someone literally paid me right there and then to do their wedding. And I was like, wait, people would pay like so much just to have like this at their wedding. And it clicked like, oh, why don't you start doing that? Because it's a way to get money.
Okay. So that's how you started getting money. And at this point, you had already created the physical product, right? You had like packaging for it and all of that. And
no, we didn't even have packaging. It was just the product.
Just the product.
It was just the product. So we would put it in these paper cups, kind of like a regular store, right? And we just started like, you know, I was just giving out, you know, the little samples like in a yoga shop in the white. That's what we were doing.
Oh my God.
We were just giving out samples. I just wanted to know what people thought about the product.
Yes.
And that day we booked our first event, like a wedding. We did this wedding where we catered for like almost 500 people.
Yes.
It was a big hit. We got more people calling us for more weddings. And before I knew it, we were creating this catering business.
That is awesome. And I'm sure, you know, people wanted to have the new, like, oh, this hasn't been at a wedding before. They haven't seen this.
It was like really different. And before I knew it, like we were catering, not just like weddings. We were doing like corporate events. We were working with my banks. We had a partnership with LVMH. We were creating flavors for Moët & Chandon, Birth Click Co., Belvedere Vodka. We worked with Pepsi, Coca-Cola. It just really took off. At some point, I mean, it did come with a lot of work, a lot of reaching out to people. Like when I first got there, because I didn't know anyone, I remember I had this BlackBerry. So I would just send out messages on BlackBerry, well, if you have a party. you know, I was really shy to go out there and just like, but I remember running out of money.
Ooh.
And as I started to run out of money, it was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at UH1.com.
If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
the initial money that you had for the business, was that all savings or had you done any fundraising for that first start?
It was like my savings, my 401k. Uh-huh. At that time, no one even knew what like fundraising was, what like VC investment. Like we didn't have those conversations. Like I'm so jealous of entrepreneurs who start now.
Yep.
Because you know those things from the jump. Like I was literally using my 401k to start this business.
Wow. And what year was this? Was this 2011?
This was 2011.
2011. Man. Yeah. Different time. Just you say BlackBerry. I'm like, yes, I remember the BBM messages. So you started the process and it took you 3 years to get a physical location. But once you got that location, what was that process like?
That was another crazy process. I remember we got a location. We had paid. I didn't even have the money to pay for the space, to pay the landlord.
Wow.
And I remember calling my uncle to borrow some money. And this is an uncle I probably never spoken to, because I didn't live in Nigeria like that. I grew up in the UK, then I moved to America. So there was this disconnect, you know, but I needed money. And my mom was like, oh, call him or, you know, and I'm like, you know, practicing, praying and like finally, you know, but because I wanted it so much, I called and I was like, you know, so I can't remember what he told me, but between him and my mom, I got the money and then I paid for it. And then 2 days later, I was told by the landlord that someone made a better offer and I paid like 10 million naira for like 5 years. And I was like, so gutted, like just so disappointed because I was so excited. I thought like, finally, this is going to happen. And after that, I just like packed up my stuff, came back to the US, so heartbroken.
Wow. So wait, did they take your money and then say, oh, but we got a better offer? Or did you get your money
back? Yeah, well, he did.
Okay.
He was like, oh, come pick up your checks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? You know, mom kept telling me, it's not yours. And I'm like, don't tell me that. I really wanted the space. And I came back to the US for a while because I was just so heartbroken. And then finally, I kind of told myself, you know what? You're doing really well with catering. Go back and focus on that. I came back and we were focused on catering. We were doing some amazing stuff. We were working with Pepsi, doing like massive concerts, 5,000 people, growing really well. And one day my mom calls me and she's like, I saw this place. It's on a major street, kind of, because it had a back entrance, but the back entrance was on a major street and you were going to have to open it up. She's like, yeah, no one's doing that yet. And I don't know if we're going to be able to get a permit for that, but I think we should go talk to the owner. And so we go there and I'm like, mom, I don't want another heartbreak. Like that was too painful. I don't know that this is for me. She's like, just let's go. Mm-hmm. And we get there and I'm like, of course, it has a sign saying for sale. I'm like, I can afford this. It's like for sale. And it's like 90 something million. Like I don't have that.
Yeah.
And my mom is like, let's just go talk to the owner. We go talk to him and he's asking all these questions. He says to me, but how much do you have? And I'm like, I have a savings of like 10, you know? And he's like, if you give me that and we have a contract, you can pay in installments, I'll give you the keys. I was like, this guy is just trying to scam me because no one does this. Like,
this is your way.
For sure. But I don't know. It just worked out. We paid him the money. We were doing the installmental payments. He gave us the keys. And that was how we got like the permanent space that we have now.
And so how long did it take you to open it?
Maybe about 6 months. We did the fit out. We hired a company to kind of fit it out. And we were able to launch like March of 2014. And I remember the day we opened, it was like, it just blew up.
Why was it so important to you to have this physical location? What is it about the experience of the frozen yogurt experience that you wanted to bring to Nigeria?
I just wanted to create, like, I remember how I felt the first time I walked into a frozen yogurt shop. It was all joy. I was like, what kind of place is this? I still remember my friend Nancy from work. She would always say to me, oh, I'm going to have some yogurt for lunch. I'm like, lunch? Like yogurt? Why? And she's like, and one day she drags me with her and I'm like, what kind of place is this? It's so bright. It's so pretty. You know, I fill up my cup. I'm walking. I'm like, no. My two sisters are not going to let me enjoy this. So I'm going to fill up other two cups. You know, it was just that feeling of joy I wanted to recreate, like just being in a space that just like you know, fills you up and just, you know, gives you that sense of wonder.
And you get to choose your toppings and you just, toppings, it's like exciting. It literally is like being a kid in a candy store, just feeling that excitement of I get to choose, I get to pick, and it's as much as I want kind of a thing.
Absolutely. Like, and that's what I wanted to create, and being able, and I was so insistent on that. Like every time with the contractor, I'm just like, no, I know what I'm trying to do. And this is what I want to create for people. And it just, I still remember the launch. I was tired. I was exhausted. I was worried it wasn't going to work, but I think we blocked out the whole street and I was like, wow. But also what came to me in that day was like all the work we had done for the last 3 years paid off. Because we had built like a fan base.
Yes.
We had built so much partnerships. Like Moët & Chandon don't even sponsor the launch.
What?
Because we had built partnerships. We had built like so much community, you know. So we opened and we had so much support, so much.
Nice. The location that you were in, was it a location with great foot traffic? Like after the launch day, did you have to work on getting people in there? Or was it a place where people were naturally in the area and would see your store?
We were on a major street, so that helped. But typically that street hadn't really blown up with like a lot of stores. Now it's something different.
Yeah.
But as soon as we opened up, everyone realized like, what? This could be a major high street. And everyone started opening up right next to us. And I guess because people saw how well we were doing as well, like we were packed out all the time.
What was the process of creating the actual yogurt? In terms of coming up with new flavors, was this something that you were able to do in Nigeria as well? Or were you doing that work partially abroad and then bringing the flavors over?
No, I mean, we were doing it in Nigeria. One of the exciting things about doing it in Nigeria was Nigeria is so blessed with so much fruit and, and vegetables and just like really things that are unique to Nigeria. So it was really exciting for me because I got to take like local fruits and local things and make like really unique flavors that were unique to Nigerians. And that's what they loved about our products as well. One of the advice I got before I moved to Nigeria was act global, but think local.
Ooh, yes.
You know, and so I had to really put my mind in the mindset of like the Nigerian consumer and not try to push my American experiences or my foreign experiences on the consumer. And I think that translated really well.
So now that you had a physical location, was the financial piece of starting the business starting to get a little bit better? Was the profit good for, you know, now you have overhead and now you're paying people. So how did you manage that part?
I think that it was great. We were making a lot of money, but also I would say at that time, it was really hard. And I also made a lot of mistakes as well, which is okay because I'm new to this. I think we were doing so well that I thought we need to open more stores.
Ooh.
But we didn't have the funding for that. So everything is self-funded and cash is really tight. We would save up a lot. So obviously some things were suffering, but we were so focused on growth. And that's one of the things I learned, like sometimes you have to make sure the foundation is solid before you build on it.
Say that again. Yeah. So you opened a second location, though.
We opened a second location in like a mall and it cost us so much money to do. Wow. It was another like really beautiful space, great experience. But the truth is we didn't have the funding. So we were stretching our cash flows to do that. So stretching your cash flows, so many things are suffering.
Yeah. How did you overcome that? Or is it something that you're still working through?
Definitely still working through it. We opened another location. We ended up with three physical locations. And also going back to understanding the market, something that I later understood was the market was every time we would open a store, we weren't adding new customers. We were cannibalizing our current customers. So that was the biggest learning. Nigeria is a place where there's only like a 10% of people that can afford the products that we were making. And kind of like opening more stores around those people meant you're taking customers from the one store and splitting them in three stores. But we're investing. And the whole point of investing is to bring on new customers, not to cannibalize the customers that we already had. Mm.
You are preaching right now. You are teaching a lesson. You are teaching a lesson in expansion, in planning. Oh my goodness, this is so interesting. And then through all of that, like at what point did you decide to come back to the US and start to look into getting onto grocery shelves. Like, so you're switching the business model a bit now. You're going from physical locations to packaging and replicating that experience, but on grocery shelves.
I think with coming to the U.S., we had a miscarriage. So I got married. I met my husband in Nigeria. Okay. He was from the D.C. area. He was filming The Apprentice Africa in Nigeria at the time we met, and we got married. And we were pregnant with our first child, and I had a miscarriage, and I was really ill for a long time. And I was in America, and, you know, just going through a depression, working through all of that, trying to figure out how to grow the business, how to basically solve all the problems that we were having.
Right.
Also, Nigeria had a new president, and economically, we weren't doing well either. And that also was affecting the business. So I was in this new space. We'd moved to Virginia. And honestly, I really wasn't thinking about business. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just in this really confused state of like, I just needed time for everything. I just needed to figure out like my pain, and I needed to figure out all the stuff that was happening inside. And I think I started to also be burnt out, because it's a lot to grow a business like that. Three store locations, we're doing so well. I mean, at that point, we're done over almost $5 million in revenue, and just like growing, and so many demands as well. And I couldn't take it. I wasn't mentally in a good place to lead a company. I couldn't even lead myself at that time. So I wasn't in a good place. So I was just in a space where I was like just sitting and just trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah.
And it just happened. Like, I was walking down the street in Georgetown, came across this place that said frozen yogurt shop coming soon. And I just thought, you know what, let me go in and figure out if they'll let me come test recipes here. Maybe it'll be something to do so I'm not sitting at home and getting more depressed. And I went in, and the person was like, oh, I know you. And he was like, I did some research into frozen yogurt companies, and you came up, and he wanted me to partner on building out this store in Georgetown, which I did. But in the process of doing that, it reminded me of why I love doing what I do. You know, so it brought back like my reason, my why. It reminded me of the why. Uh-huh. And that just re-sparked the fire. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, I was like restarting Sweet Kiwi here, getting all these catering contracts. I mean, it's always a great way to get into the market, because that was something I learned from Nigeria. We would do catering with like companies like Bazuto, Great Star. We would do resident events for commercial and residential buildings, and people loved the product. And one day the kitchen we were working out of approached us and asked us if we wanted to be part of the accelerator, because they thought the product was so good. And we had this open day. There was a rep from Whole Foods who really loved the product. Nice. And I was like, wait, what? Like, there's a possibility we could get into Whole Foods? What? And I was ready. Like, I was like, you know what? I'm ready to do this. And I think it was just coming back into that better mindset. And it wasn't just that. I also started doing therapy as well, you know, and I started to feel better. I started to come back to the light. I started to remember that this is what you love to do. You know, it's never been about running the business for me. It's always been about the product. And I felt like when I could step away from the business of it and go back to the product, which was my why, I started to feel better.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, that is just, obviously it's an important part of the story. It's an important part of how you found your way back to this. And, you know, I don't take for granted that it is a very personal and vulnerable thing to share. So thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm so inspired by how you were able to come back to the light, like you said. So once you did the accelerator and Whole Foods was interested, was there a learning curve in now packaging this product while keeping the same taste and quality and life cycle?
Absolutely. It's been a learning curve every day. Even until today, we're still learning. Right now, we're learning. I'm literally at the facility learning, because for every stage, as you grow, every stage is going to need a different you. It's going to need a different, almost a different product even, you know, a different way of doing the product. So we started in this kitchen where we just have like a small freezer. We're learning that, learning how to package, learning to make sure it's ready for the shelves.
Right, right.
Learning as much as we can in this community. And we were surrounded by a community of people in the food industry. People in the food industry, just learning every day. I really love that, because it's like learning from each other. And these were like people who were just like me, Black owned businesses, people of like from different backgrounds as well. But I love that this time I was building the company in a way that I was really proud of, with a community focused approach, you know, and I was learning so much and I was growing so much. And I was taking, you know, I was so amenable, taking advice and being ready to do the work and just being able to go with the flow really quickly, make the amendments that we need to make and keep going.
I saw that you also started to go after a lot more grants and things like that. What were some of the programs that you did and how did they help you to move the business forward?
I think every single program that I've done, no matter how small it looks on the outside, has been impactful to my growth. It's all about building community. Outside of the money, we've done like Luminary. They were the ones who pushed me to apply to Walmart when Walmart had an open call because I thought we were too early and Walmart wouldn't care. But the founder of Luminary, she was just like, well, I'll just throw in your application and do it anyway. And I did that. And we get an email saying, congratulations, you were selected to pitch. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, and I remember going to the founder of Black Girl Ventures saying like, oh, I have to pitch to Walmart. I don't know how to do this. Because we've only ever pitched to Whole Foods. And she was like, well, I can introduce you to someone at Walmart that may be able to help you. And we set up this call. We're going through everything. And he's like, just giving me some advice. And at the end of the call, I find out that he's my buyer. And he's who I'm pitching to. He didn't even know that because he thought that we were refrigerated. Yeah. So he didn't know we were a frozen product.
Okay.
So he was just trying to work with me and just give some advice. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, he asked me a question about my competition and I named a few brands and he was so confused. He's like, wait, are you frozen? And I'm like, yeah. And just like,
wait a minute. Wow.
Yeah, he's like, wait, like, yeah. Cause he was telling me about the other buyer and what to do. And he turned out it was him all along.
What did that take though, to go into Walmart? What does that look like from a production standpoint? Did you already have a manufacturer to make that happen?
No, it was a lot, like trying to raise money in time, trying to find a co-packer. That didn't happen. All these things didn't even really happen. So we just had to get more people in and keep making it at the facility. We just had to do whatever we had to do to make the best of this opportunity. And those are part of the learnings that you learn as you begin to scale.
And at what stage did you get the co-packer?
Just before we were about to launch into Walmart, but it wasn't enough time to get the products to Walmart.
Okay.
You know, so there's a deadline for everything. Yep. And we're trying to, in this world of food, like trying to figure out where's the co-packer? You know, how do you find a co-packer? Where do I even start? And that's where community comes in. People who have done it before, who can give you like the right advice about how to go about it. Because there's so many pitfalls. There's so many things that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. I remember our first run with the co-packer. The product was so grainy. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do I do? We can't deliver this product. Yeah. Like it was a lot. And I think that people don't understand how hard it is, especially when you're a business that's self-funded, you know, and doesn't have a lot of funding. And that's why we do a lot of grants, because those things help us to keep growing, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, that sounds like, you know, your worst nightmare, like you finally find a co-packer and what? You're not getting the formula right. I love that you were able to tap into, you mentioned Shelly from Black Girl Ventures and, you know, that community that you were able to reach out and they're like, I'll put you in touch with someone. I hope that resonates with someone who's listening to this. Don't be afraid to ask. More people want to help than you think. And your village is bigger than you think in this world of Black woman entrepreneurship, you guys. So please, please tap into that. So now I see, I mean, as we speak, you're actually a finalist for another kind of grant program or something like that. So I see you on your grind. So what is happening literally right now in the world of Sweet Kiwi? Like, what are you building? What's going on? What's the expansion that's happening that's requiring more and more funding?
We keep growing. So we're growing into, we're launching in Giant Food next month.
Wow.
We're launching in CVS at the end of the quarter.
What? Nice.
We just have so much growth kind of lined up. So many things happening. We're also trying to diversify our channels.
Yes.
We're looking to go into hotels, airlines, just trying to do some more partnership, get some more brand visibility, trying to bring on more people in the team. Like up till last year, it was just me and my husband.
Okay.
And now I think we added one more person, a finance person at the end of last year. Now we're up to five people,
nice.
Actually six. those are the things that we need funding for. We need more people because I barely sleep. Last year, I had a baby in October.
Oh, congrats.
I was doing Black Ambition, pregnant the whole time, trying to figure out my pitching.
Wow.
And I literally had a baby in October and I haven't had one day of maternity leave.
Wow.
Not one day. Like, I'm literally breastfeeding on a call, just like trying to balance everything. And I have a toddler as well. I have a 3-year-old.
Wow.
You know, so that's what we need funding for. Yeah. I need to be able to say, I've had a baby. I need even a week.
Yeah.
Can I get a week
you
of maternity?
Yeah.
But I can't do that now because we're not funded.
Mm-hmm. And you need to, work needs to be done. Wow.
It does. It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. And then how do you manage what's happening with the physical locations as you're doing all of this?
So I've learned to build teams. Like, okay. I think one of the great things in Nigeria was building a team that could basically take all over from me. I really believe in empowering your people to make decisions and to work, like knowing how you do things. And I think that that's been allowed me to grow the business on this side. And one of the things I'm doing here as well is building teams.
Okay.
You know, so I can also maybe, I don't know if I'm having another baby, but I could say like, hey, I want to take a month off just to bond with my baby.
Yeah. That's it right there. Like, the building of teams is so critical, so crucial. What have you learned about that as you've grown? Like, what's been helpful in having success with building the right team?
So I've learned, I think this year, I learned one of the biggest lessons with team members. I realized I need to hire someone who knows more than I do. Ooh. If I'm the smartest person in the room, then there's a problem. So that was my biggest lesson. So bringing on people, whether it's marketing, mm-hmm. I still remember bringing on my marketing person the first time we had a meeting. I was taking notes. I was like, what? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know I could do that. Yeah. I didn't know that. And I was like, wow, that was the moment where I realized you need to hire people who have more experience than you do,
yes.
who know more than you do. I mean, just like hanging with all the people that I are on my team now, I'm always energized because I don't feel like I'm carrying the company on my back and dragging it. I feel like we're all lifting together. Yes. It makes the load lighter. And I love learning. So I love the fact that I'm around people that I'm learning from daily. And that was the biggest learning for me. I need to always bring on people who are better skilled at what they do mm-hmm. than I am.
Yes.
And I'm going to always be, going forward, the least smartest person in the room.
That's some quality advice right there. Before we jump into the lightning round, you touched a little bit on how you're scaling and things like that. But I'm curious to know, as someone who started at first with just wanting to create healthy dessert for themselves and now has this empire that you're building, what's your vision for Sweet Kiwi these days?
I think my vision is to basically get the products into the hands of more consumers, help people eat better and know that they have better options. We definitely want to grow this. I want to grow this into other markets, other countries, definitely eyeing Canada, definitely eyeing Europe. I definitely want to build something that lasts and show people also that Black people are mm-hmm. able to build businesses that are sustainable.
Yes.
And that can transcribe time and go beyond the normal expectation is. One of the things that we do, or we started doing, is we also started giving 1% of our profits to organizations that support Black-owned business, Black female entrepreneurs in their journey. And we just partnered with Black Girl Ventures to do that. And that was something that was so important to me because I know how hard it's been for me to get to where I am. And if I can make that journey easier for someone else, I definitely want to do that.
So now let's do a quick lightning round. So here's the deal. You answer the first thing that comes to mind. Keep it speedy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
Black Girl Ventures.
Yes, yes. I will link to that, you guys. Speaking of that, who is a Black woman entrepreneur who you would want to switch places with for a day, non-celebrity, and why?
founder of Miele.
Ooh, yes. Mielle, you know, she was on this show and yeah, she is doing the thing. Number three, what's a non-negotiable part of your day these days?
Spending time with my kids.
Yes. Number four, what's a personal habit that you think has significantly helped you in business?
Persistence and resilience. Yes. Don't take no for an answer.
Yes.
Keep knocking on the door. It'll open eventually.
And then finally, what is your parting advice for fellow women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss, but are worried about not having a steady paycheck?
I think that you just need to go for it. You can't be two ways about something. Mm-hmm. Whatever you pour your energy to, that's what grows, right? So you have to decide. It was scary for me losing my job as well. But I realized if you're going to do this, then do it. There's always room. Like someone said to me, there's no such thing as a failure. You don't fail, you learn. Mm. Even if you go back to the old job. And that was something that I never mentioned.
Yeah.
There was at the time when I was at my lowest and I had that miscarriage, I went back to work. I went back to work for JP Morgan. My team members had become like managers at JP Morgan and they saw I was struggling and they allowed me to come back.
Wow.
But guess what? I built something. It was doing really well. I wasn't doing well. I had the opportunity to go back to a space where I felt safe.
Yes.
And when I was good again, you know, and it was one of the most amazing times for me because I was really supported by the same team members that pushed me to start my business, supporting me again.
Yes.
Through this dark time and just being able to get up and go to work and do something and see people that I love every day.
Yes.
That really helped me get out of my depression that I was in. But I didn't fail. At that time, people were like, is she closing down? She took a job with JP Morgan. Is she done? Did this fail? I didn't fail. I can take a pause. I can take a break.
Yes.
And I can come back.
Yes.
And I've come back even stronger, even better, but now I'm okay. You know, there's no such thing as a failure. You only fail when you give up.
Yes.
You know, so you just never give up. Keep at it. Be persistent. It'll happen.
I love that. I love that. That's it. That is so inspiring to me. I hope you guys have gotten so much out of this episode because I just think this is a masterclass in entrepreneurship right here. So, Ehemeh, please let us know where can we keep in touch with you and Sweet Kiwi after this episode.
Absolutely. You can find Sweet Kiwi at Sweet Kiwi USA. Nigerian company is at Sweet Kiwi Yogurt. And I'm at The Ehemeh, T-H-E-H-I-M-E. You can definitely reach out to me. I am very easy. love to help other female entrepreneurs. So this is how you can keep up with me. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you for being here. And you heard it here, you guys. There you have it. I'll talk to you next week. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you'll receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.